From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Faithfulness of God, taking as his text, chapter 9, verses 6 through 13. Although the Jews of Paul's day believed that their relationship to Abraham guaranteed their entrance into heaven, Paul states that God's promise was to the children of promise. God was faithful to the promise he made to Abraham that in his seed, that is Christ, all nations of the earth would be blessed. As Dr. Cairns will show, no one gets into heaven because of any physical relationship or through any religious ritual, no matter how sincere. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's meditation is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Many persons want to know their election before they look to Christ, but they cannot learn it thus. It is only to be discovered by looking unto Jesus. If you desire to ascertain your own election, after the following manner shall you assure your heart before God. Do you feel yourself to be a lost, guilty sinner? Go straightway to the cross of Christ and tell Jesus so, and tell him that you have read in the Bible, Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Tell him that he has said, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Look to Jesus and believe on him, and you shall make proof of your election directly. For so surely as you believe, you are elect. If you will give yourself wholly up to Christ and trust him, then you are one of God's chosen ones. But if you stop and say, I want to know first whether I am elect, you ask what you know not. Go to Jesus, be you never so guilty, just as you are. Leave all curious inquiry about election alone. Go straight to Christ and hide in his wounds, and you shall know your election. The assurance of the Holy Spirit shall be given to you, so that you shall be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Christ was at the everlasting council. He can tell you whether you were chosen or not, but you cannot find it out in any other way. Go and put your trust in him, and his answer will be, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There will be no doubt about his having chosen you, when you have chosen him. Sons we are through God's election, who in Jesus Christ believe.
I cannot tell why he would angels worship, should set his love upon the sons of men, or why as shepherd he should seek the fear, and lifts up
You have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Here you get Paul going to the very depths of his soul and bringing out to public view the constant burden and passion of his heart for the Jewish people. A burden that is expressed in terms that to us would seem so very extreme. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. The strength of that assertion has called forth many objections. Some people want to translate it that I used to wish. In other words, this is simply a statement of the way I was before I was converted. To be quite honest, that doesn't make a lot of sense of the rest of the statement. I think our translators have got it absolutely right. Paul is not saying I wish myself accursed from Christ. That couldn't be. He's not saying it's possible for me ever to be accursed from Christ. The surrounding verses make it clear that that couldn't be. But he's saying if it were possible, if it were legitimate, if it would save my people from hell, I would go to hell in their place. That's the passion. And I want you to see that for Paul, the purpose of grace and talking about election and predestination and all those things went hand in hand with a burning, blazing passion for souls. I would to God that everybody who ever wrote on God's eternal predestination wrote out of a heart that was filled with heaviness and sorrow and wrote with eyes that were blinded by tears with a passion for the dying souls of men and women. These two things in Paul's heart always go together. God's purpose of grace and Paul's passion for precious souls. His passion was a gospel passion. And the heart of that gospel was, the end of verse 5, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Let me give you a little hint. If ever you're looking at a so-called modern translation, and I say so-called because some are translations, some are perversions, some are paraphrases. But if you're ever looking at what purports to be a translation of the New Testament, this is one of the key verses to turn up. And you'll find that there are many that would turn this statement into a benediction. Christ came, period. May God, who is over all, be blessed forever. I'm not going to get into the technicalities of that. I think that Charles Hodge was absolutely right when he made the point that translationally that is improper, it is unallowable, and what we have before us is the only possible representation in English of the Greek text. This is one of the great statements concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came. Who is he? He is over all. Who is he? He is God, blessed forever. That is the very heart of the gospel. And you know, that is the very essence of God's mercy. Think of that statement. You see, there is a logical progression here with Paul. Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Don't let those words just roll off the end of your tongue. Don't just read them quickly. Think of it. Let it come. He who is over all, the King of angels, the King of devils. He who is over all, the sovereign of all creation. He who is eternally God, God blessed forever. He came in the flesh into this world. That is the very first part of gospel doctrine. That's the first point of fundamental New Testament biblical truth. Without that, there is nothing else to say. Never forget that. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness. What's the very first particular? God was manifested in the flesh. And this is what Paul is saying here. This is the very heart of the gospel. This is the very heartbeat of God's mercy. And when you understand what I'm saying, Paul would argue that God overall came in this flesh. For anybody after that to criticize God or the gospel is both foolish and utterly wicked. So from verse 6, Paul launches out into his great theodicy. A theodicy being a vindication of God in his character and in his dealings. He launches out into this great theodicy. And I want us to look at part of it tonight, and in the will of God, come back to it again next Sabbath evening. The subject is simply in defense of God and his gospel. And tonight we're focusing on verses 6 to 13, where Paul defends the faithfulness of God. And in one sentence, the argument here is that the rejection of many Jews does not indicate any failure, either in the promise or the purpose of God. That's what Paul is setting out in these verses to prove. God is faithful. You see, the objection was, Paul, look at these chosen Jews, and you're saying God has given many of them up to destruction. Where's the faithfulness of God? Look at all those things that are said in the Old Testament. Where's the faithfulness of God? Where's the promise of God? God is unfaithful according to your doctrine. Paul says, no, sir, neither in his promise or his purpose does he fail. Now, obviously, you'll see from what I've said that in strict context, Paul is refuting objections concerning God's dealings with Israel. That is something to keep always in mind. But while he's dealing with God's dealings with Israel particularly, in fact, what he says has a very much wider application, and it leads us to some fundamental Christian doctrine. His basic point really is this, and I will summarize these opening verses from 6 onwards very quickly. What he's saying is that God's promise belongs to the children of promise, for they only are the children of God. Now that should be simple enough to understand. The promise of God belongs to the people that God gave it to. Doesn't that make sense? That's a simple proposition, but it's one that they were overlooking. It belongs to the children of promise. Second, being a child of promise was never guaranteed by the mere fact of being a descendant of Abraham. That came as quite a shock to many Jewish people. Simply being a child of Abraham, says Paul, does not make a man a child of the promise. The children of the flesh. Abraham had children of the flesh. He says they were not the children of promise. They were not the children of God. And then he comes to the big conclusion that being a child of the promise depends ultimately on the sovereign electing grace of God. So follow Paul's argument. The promise belongs to the children of promise. Being a descendant of Abraham is not enough to constitute you a child of the promise. What puts you into that covenant is the sovereign choosing grace of God. Now, in establishing these points, Paul was teaching things that the Jews didn't want to hear, but you know, the Gentiles don't want to hear them either. And there are many Christians who don't want to hear them. I must say that always amazes me. I thought that the mark of a Christian was to come to the Bible with an open mind and open heart and say, speak, Lord, I'm willing for whatever you say, and I believe anything that God says. Paul is saying things here that the mind of man naturally hates. First of all, he's making it clear there's no such thing as universalism. There is something, especially in our day, that has taken root in the mind of man. We live in what purports to be an egalitarian society. So God must not be a God of sovereign choosing. Why? Because we say so. That's the thinking of the day. It's impossible for God to let any man perish. The dignity of the human being is such that God Almighty cannot allow any man to perish. Ultimately, there must be a universal application of salvation to every man, woman, and child who ever lived. That's the thinking of the human mind. But Paul is making it clear there is no universalism in Scripture. And oh, let me make this very clear to you tonight. If you are one of those dark and foolish people who's going down the broad road to a lost eternity, and you're trudging that road to hell with the vain hope that somehow, someday, it will be all right, because God is a God of love, and He could never allow one of His creatures to perish. If you're doing that, man, stop dead in your tracks. For whatever you believe, if it's not according to the Word and to the testimony, it's the devil's lie. And I tell you, there's no universalism in the Bible. There's nobody preached more seriously, more urgently, more warningly, aye, and more threateningly of hell than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In fact, He more than anybody in all of the Bible, He more than anybody preached about hell. 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 Christ was warning men with an insistence that they could not quench. Why? Because, like His apostle, He taught no universalism. You've got to be prepared to meet God. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. There is a glory to be enjoyed. There is a burning lake of fire to be endured. There is no universalism in God's Word. Paul went further and he made it clear that no ritualism of any kind can make a man right with God. The Jews had wonderful ritual. Actually, it was even Bible-based ritual. And Paul looked at it all. At this time, the temple was still standing. The blood of the sacrifices was still flowing. The high priest was doing his work. There was the constant offering up of incense. The Jews were ritualistic still. And Paul was telling them that there's no ritual that can ever rightly relate you to God. And there's no religious affiliation that can do so either. Now the Jews found that difficult to stomach, but so do Gentiles today. The Jews found it utterly obnoxious. They could believe that perhaps the heathen might perish. In fact, they believed the heathen would perish. But all Jews would be saved. Their writings give examples of their opinions. I'll give you a couple. All Israelites have a share in the world to come. All Israelites. Then again, no Israelite who's circumcised will go down to Gehenna. What our New Testament calls Gehenna, or hell. No Israelite who is circumcised will go down to hell. It's impossible. That was the opinion. But Paul registers a resounding no. And listen to what he says at the end of verse 6. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Verse 7. Neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. What Paul is saying is that the fact that some Jews perish, therefore, does not in any way invalidate the promise of God or overthrow His purpose. The promise was never given to children of the flesh. The promise was given to the children of God, the children of promise.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.